Well, hallelujah. Say the Lord is good. To me. All the time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. Hey, I got this morning from, this goes right along with my message and a part of it anyway, from Pastor Hagin this morning. He says, have a great Sunday. Then he quotes a man by the name Frank Clark, and he said, if you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere. We must not let the obstacles of life stop us from doing whatever it is that God has called us to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, let's begin this morning in Exodus chapter 3. Yeah. Exodus, the third chapter. Praise God. And let's read verses 1 through 10 together. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said to him, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up, praise God, bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with them, with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here we see God's call on Moses to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. And that's exciting, isn't it? And of course, you and I know that Moses answered the call, and he did. God used him to deliver the people from Pharaoh and from Egyptian bondage. But what you might not know is that 5 different times Moses said, you picked the wrong guy. I mean, during this initial calling, he said, I'm not the one. You can't use me. You gave all kind of excuses. Sometimes we make excuses to people why we can't do something. They're not bona fide reasons why we can't do it. They're just excuses. Do you think God knows the difference between an excuse and a bona fide reason? Plus, if God calls you to do something or sends you to do something, does he expect you to do it? Does he believe you can do it? So would there be any excuse why you wouldn't do it? No, of course not. Amen. Well, all of us are called by God to do certain things. We're all called to obey the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel and make disciples and lay hands on the sick and cast out devils and so forth and so on. We're all called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're all sent at times. You may be sent overseas, or you may just be sent to your next door neighbor, or you may be sent to the nursery, praise God. But we're all called. We're all sent by God to do things. God may lead us or call us or inspire us to do any number of things in life, in the spiritual realm and in your natural life. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ. We're all members of the same body. And, you know, my fingers have one purpose and my ears have another purpose. Well, that's the way it is with the body of Christ, you know, Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians. You have a role, you have a function, you have a purpose. And God wants you to find and fulfill your purpose in the body of Christ. And then personally, God's people calls people to step out and do a lot of things for the benefit of their own life, for the benefit of their family, and for the benefit of the kingdom, because as people make money, they're able to give and so forth. So, you know, you may be called to the nursery, you may be called to nursing, you may be called to law enforcement, you may be called to politics, God help you, but you may be called to politics. Amen. Whatever it is, God may call you to start a business. Say, well, I'm too old. Do you think God knew that before he asked you to do something? So would that be an excuse? Would that be acceptable? No. You may be called to take on some project. You may be called to go on a short-term mission trip or do this or do that or to get more education or any number of things. And we need people to answer the call in the kingdom of God. We need people to work with children or work with teens or go on a mission trip or to be an usher or to be a door greeter and on and on and on and on. And one thing is for sure, though, whatever it is that God calls you to do or leads you to do or asks you to do, it will help and advance His kingdom in some way, or it will cause you to be a blessing to somebody else in some way or another, or it will cause you personally to be blessed by obeying the call. Can you say amen? But whatever is the case, whatever it is that God calls you to do or inspires you to do or leads you to do or sends you to do, you should do it. Amen. Glory to God. The prophet Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." That should be all our prayer. "Here am I, Lord, send me. I, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm ready. I'm available to do whatever you want me to do, to not do. You know, just I'm ready to do your will." You know, Jesus said, "Your will be done." On the other hand, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. I mean, Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." God sent Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah turned around and went the opposite way and tried to escape the presence of God. He tried to hide from God. Not too bright. I'm not saying Jonah wasn't bright. I'm just saying that was a bonehead move. Amen. But what happened to Jonah when he turned and ran the other way? Well, he ran into a whale. And when we don't do what God leads us to do or calls us to do, we run into whales. You think about that. Amen. Isaiah 1, 9, don't be Jonah. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be like Jonah. Amen. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing, that's the attitude of heart. If you're willing and obedient, that's the outward action. If you're willing and obedient, see, sometimes people are obedient, but they're not willing. And sometimes people are, yeah, I'm willing, but then they don't actually do it. No, it takes both. You have to be, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Glory to God. Now back here in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is an interesting case study of someone who was called by God, but his initial response, thank God he did obey the call in his case, but his initial response and reactions to what God was calling him to do provide a lot of lessons that we can all learn from. Amen? So we read in verse number 10, you know, again, he says, "Come now, therefore," this is God speaking, "I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people and the children out of Israel. Verse 11 says, "But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Glory to God. So his initial response was not exactly, "Here am I, send me, Lord." Was it? No, not at all. Glory to God. I think Moses was very sincerely, but stupidly. Again, I didn't say Moses was stupid. I said this particular, what he said here was a stupid thing. I think he was sincerely, but stupidly begin to tell God why he had made a mistake in choosing him. If you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, get this. God does not make mistakes. Amen. If he calls you to do something, leads you to do something, wants you to do something, he knows what he's doing. Glory to God. So what I want us to do is I want us to look at Moses' different reasonings, because we're going to see five times where he tells God, in essence, "I can't do it." Because these same reasons are why many people don't step into some leadership position or don't step out to go be a nurse like God is leading them to be, or go work in the nursery or whatever. Glory to God. This is the same reasons why people don't respond to his callings and therefore become a blessing to others and achieve and experience success in life. So we're going to list them for you for teaching purposes. Amen. So here are reasons why people don't answer the call. Reason number one is because of feelings of unworthiness and inadequacies. I feel unworthy. I feel inadequate. I'm not able to do this. I don't have the ability to do this. I can't do this. Moses said, "Who am I? Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm unworthy. I'm not up to it. I'm not qualified." Praise God. So in verse number 12, God answers him back and says, "So he," God said, "I will certainly be with you." Glory to God. Listen, whatever God calls you to do, He equips you to do. He enables you to do. Amen. He wouldn't ask you to do something that He didn't intend to help you do it. He's going to give you the ability to do it. You say, well, I would do it, but it costs money. Listen, wherever God guides, He provides. You may not see it, but you have to walk by faith in every area of life. Glory to God. So God intended to make him qualified and to use him and to be with him and equip him. Glory to God. And that's the same he'll do for us. D.L. Moody said this. He said, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was a somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering that what God can do with a nobody. Amen. You want me to read that again? I'm going to anyway. Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. Glory to God. So we have to forget about what our abilities in the natural. We have to forget about, you know, our past. Moses might have been thinking about the past. And I tried to do this, you know, 40 years ago, God, and it didn't work, or 80 years ago, and it didn't work out so well. We have to get about our past failures. You have to get about your past successes. Amen. Because you can't focus on the past and serve God effectively today. I said, you cannot focus on the past and serve God effectively today. Quit believing what the devil says about you and start believing what God says about you. Blessed be God, sometimes you just have to get over yourself. You're forgiven because God says you're forgiven. You're adequate because God says you're adequate. You're beloved because God says you're beloved. And you can do all things through Christ because God says you can. So just get over yourself and get on with it. Amen. Start believing that. Start believing that God has forgiven you. No, you're not perfect, but you'll never do anything if you wait till you're perfect. If I waited till I had a perfect message to preach, I would have never preached one single message. Glory to God. I mean, you get ready and you prepare and you believe God for the anointing. Same with singing, same with working in this nursery or whatever, same with whatever you do in life. If you wait till you're perfect, well, yes, we strive for excellence. Amen. But nobody is perfect. Nobody ever will be. So again, I like that. Get over yourself. Got it right there in my notes. Get over yourself. God is with you and He will help you overcome every challenge you face in doing whatever it is that He leads you to do. Glory to God. Now keep your place in Exodus because we're going to come back there. But I want us to look at something here in Jeremiah chapter 1. It's very interesting. I was reading in Andrew Womack's, I quote him because I have his, you know, I listen to him from time to time, but really when I'm quoting him is because I have his Bible commentary. So when I'm studying my Bible, I'll look at his notes and other people's notes and so forth. And I quote him a lot because he's got something to say, you know. But Andrew said that God took me to these scriptures when he first called me to preach. He says, I was so excited and so in love with God, and I was excited to go and preach at a place they'd asked me to come preach at. Never had preached before. But he said, listen, I couldn't stand before people. I didn't have any ability to do this. And I thought, man, I can't do this. I'm not able to. I want to do it, but I'm not able to do this. So the prophet is calling Jeremiah. We just read about Moses' call. This is Jeremiah's particular calling. Well, he's called to be a prophet. And verse number 4 says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you, this is Jeremiah, to be a prophet, not just a prophet, but a prophet to the nations. Well, there's a call. Amen. But watch this. Here comes some sincere excuses, and these same sincere excuses will keep you from answering the call. Verse number 6. Then said I, this is Jeremiah, ah, Lord God, I cannot speak. I don't have the ability to speak. I'm not able to speak to people. I'm not a speaker. I can't be a prophet because I can't even talk good. I can't do that. And I'm a youth or a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So here's Jeremiah's calling. We just read about Moses' calling. He said, I'm just a child. I can't speak. I can't get in front of others. Like I said, Andrew Womack said, I'm quoting him now. He says, this is exactly how I felt when God called me. I couldn't talk in front of people. I was an introvert. I remember in my own life, you know, I got so turned on to God and fell in love with Jesus and You know, I was a backslidden Christian, but I came back to the Lord and I felt like I got saved all over again. And I got, as Matt Gober used to say, I got saved. You know, radically saved, turned on to God. And I'm, you know, somebody introduced me. Now, Brother Copeland was known as being radical and extreme. Well, he's just radical and extreme in believing the Word of God. But somebody introduced me one time as a souped up Kenneth Copeland. Because I was so radical and so extreme. And so the first place I was invited to speak was in a Sunday school class. And I was all excited about it. But as we were driving over there, all of a sudden fear hit me. Because I realized I've never been able to speak in front of people. Never. Ever. I mean, one time I was in a little church play. You know, what wasn't a play. You know, they, with Sunday school, and they had us in front of the church. And we were lined up on this side of the auditorium. I remembered. And, you know, you'd go to this person and they'd quote their line, you know, the Lord loves you or something. And, they, you know, right down the line. And they came to me and I just stood there and looked at everybody and froze solid. And so the teacher sitting right where you're sitting looked at me and you know, kind of encouraged me. And I just froze solid. And then they quoted the words that I was supposed to say. And I just looked at them and didn't repeat a word. And finally they come up and grabbed me by my hand and just led me off the stage. I was president of my senior class, and a couple of times I got up in front, you know, the whole class, you know, to make some kind of just a little announcement or something. And I got through it, but it was kind of pathetic. You know what I mean? So as I was riding to do that, first time I'd ever really done anything publicly since I got so turned on to God, you know, I remembered all of that. But I tell you, at that particular point, I just rose up and because I'd learned some things. I'd learned some things about faith. I'd learned just a few, just in 3 weeks, because I was, you can learn more in 3 weeks than some deacons know in 12 years if you really apply yourself. And so I just rose up and rebuked fear and said, I'm called of God, and God anoints me and enables me, and just went ahead and had a glorious time. Hallelujah. So Andrew said, this is exactly how I felt. I'm just a child. I couldn't talk in front of people. I was an introvert. But the Lord told me never to say I was a child or inadequate again. Regardless of how I feel, I will not speak of my inability to do whatever the Lord tells me to do. Don't ever say, here's another word for you, confess. We hear so much about confession, but I'm telling you, people continually confess weakness and inferiority and I can't, or this always happens to me, or you know, don't ever say those things. But when it comes to what I'm talking about specifically, don't ever say that you cannot do what God has called you to do. He's called me to go to nursing. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the money. Shut up. God is with you. Where He leads and guides, He provides. He will enable you. Amen. And stay out of fear. See, that's one of the things here. He says, stay out of fear. If you say the wrong thing, you open the door to the devil in your life to cause what you say to work in your life and come to pass in your life and hinder in your life. Don't say anything that God doesn't say about you. Don't confess inferiority. Don't confess weakness. Don't confess you can't do what God says you can do. Don't confess you don't have what God says you do have. Glory to God. Give Him access into your life. So here's another reason, goes right along with what we're talking about, found here in Jeremiah, reasons why people stumble when they're called or led by God to do a particular thing. Number two is fear. God said, do not be afraid. It implied in everything that Moses said, as we go back to that in a minute, is he's afraid. I can't do it. Who am I? I can't lead these people out of Egypt. I'm afraid to do it. Reason number two is fear. God said, do not be afraid. Why not? Because I am with you. So never, ever yield to fear. Amen. Focus on God. Focus on His promises. Glory to God. All right, let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. So God calls Moses. Moses said, who am I? I can't do it. Verse number 12, Exodus 3:12, he says, God says, but I will be with you. Glory to God. I'm going to enable you. You'll be able to do it because I'm with you. But then in verse number, as we read on down, hallelujah, verse number 13, Moses said, You know, he's already told him, I can't do it. And God says, well, you know, but I'll be with you. Then verse 13 says, then Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Well, what Moses isn't actually saying here is he's saying, I don't know enough. They don't know me. I don't know enough. And so that's reason number three, thinking we don't know enough. God, you made a mistake. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. You made a mistake in calling me because I don't know enough. Listen, none of us ever know enough. But if God calls us to do something, we should step out to do it. If he leads us to go on a mission trip, we should step out to do it. If he calls us to go to the nursery, we should step out and do it. If he wants us to seek a career in law enforcement, we should step out and do it. If he leads us to leave our job and go to another job, we should step out and do it. Glory to God. We may not know enough, glory to God, but we shouldn't let that hinder us because God knows everything. He's going to be with us. He's going to be on our side. He's going to help us, and we should all become lifelong learners. Amen. And the more I learn, it seems like the less I know, but I'm a lifelong learner. Are you? Praise God. Don't ever use what you don't know as an excuse to not obey God. And then look at Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. God answers that question to him. And then in verse chapter 4, verse number 1, then Moses answered back and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. Who do you think you are? Well, why should we listen to you? Why should we think you're the one that's going to deliver us? Amen. Hey, I got news for you. Not everybody is going to be excited about the call of God on your life. Not everybody is going to be thrilled with the fact that you decide to step out and go on a mission trip. Very first mission trip I went to was to Costa Rica. My granddaughter Daisy is going to Costa Rica as a part of her schooling this summer. The first trip I went on, I went with Jason Peebles. And that was back in the 1980s. And you know, I was one man particularly highly criticized me because I was going on a mission trip. Criticizing a pastor because he's going on a mission trip. But you know, you understand in years past, you know why there's missionary Baptist churches? Because they broke off a set of Baptist churches that didn't believe in missions work. They said, why should you go overseas? Why should you do missions work? People need God right here. And that's what this man's criticism was. We need help right here. You don't need to go overseas. You need to stay right here and so forth. And it costs money and you're going to spend money and you know, and all that kind of stuff. As it turned out, he financed a great part of the trip. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You just stay humble, stay sweet. Just believe God. Let the naysayers nay, but you just go right along and do whatever God's called you to do. Reason number four is people don't answer the call and leadings because they're afraid people might criticize them and reject them and not approve of what they're doing. Let me help you out a little bit here. Listen real, 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 real carefully. No matter what you do in life, if you're actually doing something, people will criticize you. Well, they will. Some people will reject you. Some people, not everybody. And not everyone is going to be excited about what you're doing for the Lord. I quote again what I got from Pastor Kenneth Hagin this morning. If you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead to anywhere. There will be obstacles. There will be challenges. There will be, you know, people that criticize you. There will be people that don't like what you're doing. Glory to God. Amen. But you cannot let the fear of rejection and the fear of people and the fear of criticism stop you. Hallelujah. You'll never do anything if you're afraid people are going to criticize you for it. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I said naysayers a while ago. I think you know, but if you look up the word naysayer, a naysayer is one who criticizes, detracts from what you're doing. So he criticizes you, detracts from what you're doing, doubts what you're doing, and is negative about what you're doing. But regardless of the naysayers, just step out to answer the call and follow after your God-given dreams. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Dr. C.M. Ward said this. Now, you know, there was a time when he was really, really well known for his radio program, Assembly of God Minister. He was their national radio speaker. And he said this, there aren't many days that pass for leaders that someone doesn't feel he or she, if they had the power, could do a better job. Leaders are never free from quibblers and nibblers. Amen. Glory to God. And then I really like this. This is from Theodore Roosevelt. Now, he wrote this at the turn of the century, but you'll understand it. He said, it is not the critic who counts,
Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of the deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again. This man knows the great enthusiasms of woman, the great devotions. They spend themselves in a worthy cause, and who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. In other words, because they're not doing anything. They're just sitting back telling everybody else how they should do it. Glory to God. Let me help you out here. This becomes real simple. Now, of course, we want to listen to advisors and counselors. Of course, we should all be correctable. Of course, we should all admit it when we make a mistake. If somebody comes along and has a better idea, then we throw our idea away and we follow after them. So we understand that. But listen, here, this will help you along these lines in a lot of areas of life. Just simply learn to say, what does God want me to do, and do that. Sometimes if you do what God wants you to do, it's going to upset somebody else, or somebody else is going to criticize it, or somebody else is not going to like it. But who should you please above everybody? So just learn to please God and live to please God and do what you know that God would have you do. Do it under His ability and by the power and might of the Holy Spirit, and then go to bed at night and sleep peaceably, knowing that you're living to please God. Can you say amen? Not everyone believed in Jesus. Not everyone believed in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. One guy said, "You're crazy. You're mad." Not everybody believed in the ministry of John the Baptist, but we're all glad that they did what God called them to do. Amen. Remember, when you do what God leads you to do, you got to remember this. It makes a tremendous difference in the lives of some other people. And you'll never know the impact you're making on somebody else's life, on your family's life, because you decided to do something, because you decided to become a nurse, because you became a pastor, because you became a nursery worker, or whatever. You just never know the impact. It makes it different. It advances God's kingdom. It makes you a blessing to others in some way and brings rewards to your own life. Can you say amen? I was invited to go to a particular... It was a wild game dinner, actually, by a young man that attended this church when he was a teenager. At that particular time, I hadn't seen him in maybe 15 years. And he came here when he was 14, 15, 16, 17, 19, that age. And we went to this wild game dinner. Mark Richt, the head coach of Georgia, had been the head coach of Georgia for about 5 years and was experiencing tremendous success, was the guest speaker right over here in Dalton, Georgia. And I sat by him. And now I'm only telling you this to make a point, but he treated me like I was the Pope or the King of England or Smith of Wigglesworth. That would be a better, you know. And finally he said, you don't understand. You know, I remember him coming to church here. And, of course, we not only did we do things at church, we had a softball team, and he played softball for us. So he just saw us out on the softball field. But he said, you don't understand what you mean to me. You don't understand how you radically changed my life. And I take it, since he had left the church, he had actually, you know, as a teenager, I never noticed that he was really all that spiritual and listening that much, but after he left here, he started listening to just devouring messages, you know, and messages on faith and messages on the Holy Spirit and so forth. And he said you just don't understand. He just kept saying that. You don't understand. You just changed my life. You everything in my life is different because of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that God calls you to do, even if it's going on a short-term missions trip, you go on a short-term missions trip, there's somebody in heaven liable to just praise you and thank you and hug your neck for all eternity because you went on that mission trip. Glory to God. You just don't know. What God calls you to do or leads you to do matters in the lives of many other people. It matters to your family. It matters to you. And much more than you will ever know this side of heaven. So at this particular point, three times Moses has told God, "You made a mistake, pick somebody else." And so let's look at Exodus 4:10. Then Moses, because he said, "Listen, they're going to reject me. They may not believe me. They're going to criticize me. They won't listen to me. God answers that. Verse number 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth?" Kind of sense the Lord's beginning to get just a little agitated right now, you know. "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute and deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." Verse 13, this is almost comical. But he said, that's Moses, "Oh my Lord, just get somebody else. Find somebody else. Oh my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send." So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Kind of got to God, said, "What's, dude, I mean, how many times I got to explain this to you?" Again, Moses expresses fears and doubts and insecurities. And then his final reason is, and this is number 5 in our list, is just get somebody else. Anybody but me. You can put that in your notes. Anybody but me could do a better job. Amen. Just find somebody else. That would be best. Glory to God. Amen. But how many of you know that wasn't best? Do we really believe God knows what he's doing? Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Amen. When I went to that wild game dinner, like I said, Mark Richt was the head coach. At this particular time, he had already been named Coach of the Year. He had already won 2 SEC championships. That's a big deal. You know, he's not the greatest coach that ever lived, but he was a very, very successful winning coach. Coach of the Year a couple of different times. SEC East champion 5 different times. Played for the national championship. If it wasn't for, in my opinion, if it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have won a couple of them. But when I was there, he had just been at Georgia about 5 years, and he really had tremendous success those first four years. But you see, Mark Richt was the assistant coach, or he was the offensive coordinator at Florida State University under Bobby Bowden. So Vince Dooley called him and asked him to become the new head coach of Georgia. Well, Mark was a Christian. Bobby Bowden led him to the Lord. And Mark felt like this is what God is calling me to do. You know, this is what God wants me to do. But you don't have to answer that call. But he feels this is the Lord calling him. But when Vince Dooley called him, he said, "I thought, well, you know, he's a little nervous about it." And he said, "Give me time. Just give me time to think about it." And so he said, I called him at 2 o'clock in the morning and woke him up. That same day, because he said, "I'm taking the job. I'm taking the job." And Coach Dooley said, "Why are you calling me at 2 a.m. in the morning?" He said, "I didn't want you to change your mind." And so he accepted the head coach of the University of Georgia. Praise God, because you know. But again, he believed he was doing God's will. This was part of God's plan for his particular life. But you know, he says, as time rolled on and I'm the new head coach of Georgia, he said Georgia at that time was facing difficulties and possible going to be put on probation. They're going to limit the number of scholarships you could give, which limits his ability to coach the best players in the country and so forth. He said the pressure from the fans, never even coached a game yet, never even won one game or lost one game. But he said the pressure, I don't think you and I can understand it. He said the pressure from the fans was enormous, enormous. And he said the media scrutinized every single thing I said and every move I said. And there was lots and lots of criticism. And he said I was ready to quit before we ever played the first game. And he said, so I found myself at a motel on my face before God with my nose in the carpet. I mean, he's face down before God. And I'm telling God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Now remember, he firmly believes this is God's will for his life and that God wants him to do this. But he's telling God, I can't do this. And he said, the Lord reminded me, you're right, you can't, but I will be with you every step of the way. Just go get somebody else. No, if God asks you to do it, it's because he wants you to do it. You're the right woman, you're the right man, you're the right person for the job, and you can do it because God will be with you every step of the way. Amen. And then Mark Richt went on to have tremendous success as the head coach of the University of Georgia. He tremendously influenced those young men. He influenced their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And led a lot of them to the Lord. We may see ourselves as being incapable, but God sees us in a different light. Amen. when God raised up Gideon. You know, that's another. We see the call of Gideon. You know, this is in during the age of the judges. You know, they didn't have a king. They didn't have a government. They had, you know, but God would raise up a judge. You know, Samson was a judge. God would raise up a deliverer because the enemies would come in and rule over Israel and, you know, try to defeat them and so forth. So God raised up Gideon to save Israel, to lead them into battle and deliver them from their enemies. Of course, every battle they fought are just types and shadows of the spiritual battles that you and I face. Amen. So God called Gideon, and Gideon said, Lord, let me tell you something here. My clan, it's the weakest clan of all the clans in Israel. My clan's the weakest, and my family in that clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my family. go find somebody else, Lord. I can't do this. You made a mistake. But here's what God said. He said, I've sent you to save the people. And surely I will be with you. And the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Say, I'm a mighty person. Of valor. In God. In Christ. I can do all things. Through Christ. Who strengthens me. That's the way God sees you. And that's the way you are in reality. Hallelujah. Yeah. No excuses. Just say, here am I. Send me, Lord. Glory to God. So, get over yourself. Believe that God is with you. Know that He will equip you and enable you and provide for you and give you everything you need to do whatever it is that He has called you to do. Forget about the critics. Stay out of fear. And believe what God says about you is the absolute truth. And just simply go where He tells you to go and do whatever He tells you to do. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm too old. Who told you that? Well, I don't know, Lord. I guess the devil's the one telling me that. That's like Charles Capps, you know, he was talking to God and he was saying all kind of stuff that wasn't true according to the Word of God. And that's what the Lord said to Charles Capps. He said, who told you that? Because he was telling him why he couldn't prosper and why faith didn't work and so forth. And he said, who told you that? And Charles thought about it and he said, well, I guess the devil told me that. And the Lord said, well, I'd appreciate it if you'd quit quoting to me what the devil said. Amen. I'm telling you what, in the natural, I'm too old, not too old to go a lot of, but I'm too old to go to Africa and live in a hut. I'm not too old to go there and live in first class accommodation, but I'm too old to go there and live in a hut, because sometimes you have to do that if you're going to go on the mission field. But if God told me to go, then I wouldn't be too old. And I can do it. See, that's why some people don't want to surrender their lives to God. They're afraid of the call of God. The call of God is where you want to be. That's where you'll be the happiest. That's where you'll be the most fulfilled. That's where you'll be the most successful. That's where you'll be the happiest and the healthiest and the most prosperous and the most successful. Yeah, but He might call me to Timbuktu. Have you ever been to Timbuktu? Might be the garden spot of the world. If He called you to go there, it'll be your garden spot. So my attitude of heart is still not my will, but Thy will. I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll stay wherever You want me to stay. I'll do whatever You want me to do. And whatever You call me to do, I can do it under the unction and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm enabled to do it. I'm empowered to do it. Let the naysayers nay, but it's not going to stop me. Let the critics do what they do. Criticize, but I'm going to just do whatever God calls me to do. I'm going to please God and obey God and follow His leading. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said this in the New Testament. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. If you look that word up, called, it really means many are invited. And if you study it out, what it says is this, everyone is invited. Everyone's invited to come to the banquet table. Remember, they invited people to the banquet table? And they begin to make excuse, one why they couldn't come. That's why it says, many are invited. But few are chosen.
Here's the truth. Here's the reality of what that really means. Everyone is invited, but it's up to you whether you're selected or chosen or not. You have to respond. You have to respond. Amen. And you can't let your own thinking get in the way of what God says. Just go ahead and surrender to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I think everybody in here is saved, but if you're not, you know, everybody's called. That's the first call. The door is wide open. He invites everybody to call. He says, you're all welcome. Oh, I can't. Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Get over yourself. Believe. It's not what you did, it's what He did. And just surrender your life. Amen. Believe that God raised you from the dead and confess Jesus as your Lord, and you will be saved. Can you say amen? My attitude of heart, I joked about going to Africa, but if God calls me to go, I'm gone. Oh yeah, there's some fears that try to hit my mind because I'm saying, no, I've got my life perfectly planned out at this particular stage. It's been wonderful, it's been great, it's been glorious. No. I never want to get away from that attitude. Not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. So I think of this old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Praise God. Let's sing that together. Glory to God. I'll sing it.
I have decided.
Yes. Obviously, if you backed off, the Lord is saying, allow me to deal with your heart. Allow me to refresh you. Get back up on the horse. This is me, but get back up on the horse. Pick yourself back up. Renew yourself. Stir yourself up. That the gifts and calling, the Bible says, are without repentance. That means God never changes His mind. They're irrevocable. Praise God. Stir it up. Stir up yourself. Amen. Get your zeal back. Get your fire back. Face the challenges. Rise up in faith. Step out in faith. Continue on. Don't back off, but continue. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Nobody's mad with you. Nobody's upset with you. You had a setback, but you got knocked down, but you don't have to stay down. Get back up. Get back up and do whatever it is that you feel like the Lord is leading you to do. Be whoever it is. Listen. I want you to look at me. Look at me. I heard Winter Bible Seminar this year. I'm listening to Brother Copeland's minister's conference right now, but Winter Bible Seminar, I heard one message, is all I heard so far. I heard Brother Doug Jones. And Doug said he made a mistake and missed it
and he left Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Raymond Bible Church, and went somewhere else. He said, well, I went there. He said they did not appreciate me. They did not respect me. They did not, you know, they accused me of doing things I didn't do. They said I wasn't doing a good job, and he said it was untrue, and it just crushed him and broke him. And he was there month after month, you know, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And you know, all the things that I just said, you need to rise back up, you need to forgive, you need to walk in love, you need to get back up. But here's what the Lord said to him. He said, Doug, you quit being Doug. You know, you're going through the motions of doing your job, but you're not energetic anymore. You're not zealous anymore. You're not industrious anymore, because you've let all this break you down and pull you down and wound you and hurt you. I feel like there's somebody in here that the Lord would say that to you. You quit being Jill. You quit being Tom. You quit being who you really are because of something that happened. Maybe even ministry related. You quit being who God designed you to be and called you to be. But amen. Pick yourself up. Make the decision to be industrious. Make the decision to pick back up those things that you have laid down and to go on with God, trusting in His ability and believing Him. You know, Doug said, when I made that decision, that's what I did. And I went back to that place that was a horrible place for me to work, where nobody respected me, where nobody loved me, where people falsely accused me of things. And I went back with a positive attitude and a good heart, and just kept went back to being myself again. But he said, now, God didn't keep me in that place. He said, 2 weeks later, Brother Hagin, you know, told me, he said, Doug, we don't have a job for you, but we're creating a position just so we can hire you. God can move you. God can change you. God can put you where He needs you to be. But say your name out loud. Say, I'm going to be. Then say your name. I'm going to be. Amen. That's good. You quit. Some people quit being who they are. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Praise God. You understand that? Have to preach his message for 45 minutes, and I couldn't do it like he did, so just get online and watch it. Amen. Praise God. Say, I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I have what God says I have. And whatever he leads me to do or inspires me to do, he is with me, and he equips me, and he anoints me to do it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.